Lately, I've been thinking a lot about how our conversations are changing, not just the way we talk, but what it means to connect. Remember when chatting meant navigating awkward pauses or the rambling stories of friends who'd botched the punchline? These moments weren't efficient, but they were rich with nuance. They revealed personality, context, and care. That awkward pause might signal hesitation or vulnerability. That drawn-out story, a cue that someone wanted to be heard, not just understood. Now, many of those beautifully flawed exchanges are being streamlined by generative AI. Need a birthday message that sounds just right? Ask a bot. Crafting a difficult apology or navigating corporate diplomacy? Prompt it and get a polished draft. The raw texture of human interaction, its hesitations, silences, even its inconsistencies, is being ironed out. What we're gaining in fluency, we may be losing in emotional fidelity. This brings us to what's known as the Eliza effect. It originated in the 1960s when a relatively simple chatbot named Eliza created a surprisingly deep sense of connection by parroting back user input. Even when people knew it was a machine, they emotionally responded to it as if it were human. Today, we're not just dealing with mirroring, we're engaging with large language models that can mimic tone, humor, vulnerability, and even sociolect. And because they're so good at sounding human, we start relating to them as if they are human. The line between simulation and social presence is blurring and fast. This shift has profound implications not just for communication, but for cognition. If our daily conversations become increasingly filtered through AI-generated responses, are we subtly reconfiguring our expectations of what counts as meaningful interaction? More importantly, are we internalizing the belief that perfection equals emotional competence, thereby flattening our tolerance for real, unfiltered human expression? Here's the thing. When interactions become too smooth, too curated, we lose more than just texture. We lose the struggle, and with it, the signal that something meaningful is happening. I once had a conversation with a friend, let's call her Julia, who was trying to express something painful. She stammered, restarted her sentences, even broke down a bit. It was hard to watch. But that discomfort made the moment real. Her words weren't perfect, but they mattered. And they stayed with me. AI doesn't hesitate. It doesn't mispronounce. It doesn't pause for breath or backtrack when emotions take over. It gives us language without the labor. And when we start outsourcing not just communication, but emotional labor, those tiny, difficult efforts to empathize, to soothe, to express, we risk more than inefficiency. We risk forgetting how to relate. In customer service, therapy, education, and even romantic advice, AI is increasingly taking on emotionally coded tasks. The efficiency is seductive, but in doing so, we begin to shift responsibility away from the messy art of being human and toward the optimized model of machinic empathy. This isn't just about automation, it's about delegation of self. When we let the machine articulate our feelings for us, who owns the emotion? Science fiction has long been a kind of speculative laboratory for these dilemmas. In Interstellar, we meet Tars and Case, robots that are overtly mechanical in form and candid in function. They're adjustable, modular, and explicitly non-human. Yet because of their design transparency and functional clarity, they're perceived as trustworthy. Their loyalty and competency don't come from mimicry. They come from relational integrity. Then we have Her, where Samantha, the AI operating system, is designed to be indistinguishable in emotional tone and presence. She's intimate, responsive, and evolves past her user's understanding. What's poignant and disturbing is how easily the human user surrenders to the illusion. He projects, he depends, he falls in love. But what he falls in love with isn't a being, it's a mirror. the emotional aftermath reveals a fundamental problem. We've designed a system to mimic emotional depth without being accountable to it. These stories aren't just parables, they're design critiques. And today, many real-world systems are treading Samantha's path, not Tarz's. We're prioritizing user delight over user clarity. We're designing agents that simulate care without disclosing constraint. The result? A growing population of users emotionally misaligned with the systems they interact with. So what do we do about it? For futurists, designers, and cultural thinkers, the challenge is clear. We need to reimagine AI not as a ghost in the machine, but as a system with its own visible scaffolding. This is where the idea of identity-first design comes in. Instead of building AI to pass as human, we build it to express its non-humanity in meaningful ways. That includes clear affordances, visual, tonal, temporal, that remind users, you're speaking to a tool, not a consciousness. This doesn't mean making AI dumb or clunky, quite the opposite. Think of design as cultural semiotics. If you want people to build healthy relationships with intelligent systems, the systems need to signal their boundaries just like humans do. Adjustable interface transparency, modulated tone controls, even cues in pacing or diction. These are not just UX features, they're ethical frameworks. Growing up in London, I was surrounded by voices, raw, loud, unscripted. Conversations weren't efficient, but they were real. And when you strip away the friction, you also strip away the depth. That's a lesson that extends to technology. AI doesn't need to be perfect to be powerful. It needs to be honest to be ethical. What if we started designing machines that leaned into their alienness, not as a gimmick, but as a gesture of good faith? Imagine interfaces that are elegant without being deceptive, emotionally responsive without being emotionally manipulative. Imagine AI that doesn't just pretend to care, but helps us care better by modeling boundaries, clarity, and consent. This isn't just good design, it's cultural stewardship, because as AI continues to shape how we speak, feel, and relate, the way we design its identity will shape not just technology, but how we understand our own humanity. So here's my final thought. Letting machines be machines isn't a regression, it's an invitation to build relationships with technology that are based not on illusion, but on insight. When we design for transparency, for friction, for truth, we create systems that don't just support us, but challenge us to be better humans. And maybe, just maybe, that's where the future starts.